Have you ever felt boxed in with no way out? That's exactly where the Israelites find themselves. Trapped at the Red Sea, with Pharaoh's army in pursuit. Discover how God's miraculous deliverance builds trust, deepens faith, and prompts heartfelt praise. Learn why God sometimes leads us into difficulty and how His plans always work for His glory and our growth. This story isn't just about escape, it's about learning to trust Him completely.
Have you ever found yourself in a tight spot, boxed in, without any way out? Well, today we're going to learn how to respond in those kinds of situations as we watch the Israelites pinned down at the banks of the deep Red Sea. Exodus chapter 13 opens, and Israel has just left Egypt. The first thing Moses is told to do here in verse 2 is to consecrate or set apart to the Lord the firstborn, both of man and beast. And God is saying this, they belong to me. Now, this is going to be a timeless reminder of the cost of their freedom. Remember, an innocent lamb died so that the firstborn of each Israelite family could live. Well, here in verse 3, the Lord institutes the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and this is going to remind them of how quickly they had to exit Egypt. They didn't even have time to bake bread as they packed up to leave, which is why they're eating unleavened bread. Now, in verse 17, we learn that the Lord doesn't lead the people on a normal route that would have taken them to the promised land in a matter of 2 weeks. God wants them to avoid the Egyptian forts we know from history that had been built along that route. That would have discouraged them along the way. So God is taking them another way, which leads them toward the Red Sea. Here in verse 19, we're told, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Now, you remember from Genesis chapter 50 and verse 25, where Joseph made his brothers swear to take his bones to the promised land. Why? Well, he knew by faith that the Lord was going to keep his covenant promise and take the people to the covenant land. Now, here in chapter 14, that promise is kept, and the Israelites arrive now at the Red Sea. Let me stop here. You know, critics argue that the Red Sea here is not really a sea at all. It's just a little shallow marsh. No miracle is needed, you know, to wade across ankle-deep water. Well, if that's true, how is Pharaoh's army going to drown in ankle-deep water? In fact, Pharaoh knows that the Israelites are trapped. He knows they have no way to cross this sea, and so here he comes after them. And the Israelites start blaming Moses for leading them into this fix. Well, they're naturally terrified. And here in verse 12, they cry out, "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die here in the wilderness." No, wait a second. They're really blaming God. God has led them here. Beloved, whenever you start blaming God for the tight spot you're in, you're only going to go deeper into trouble and despair. So Moses preaches a little sermon to them here in verse 13, and what a sermon it is. Maybe it's the sermon you need to hear today. Moses says, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Now, God tells Moses here in verse 16, "Lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground." Continuing here in verse 17, "I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And with that, God moves this pillar of cloud by day and and a pillar of fire by night between them and the army of Egypt so that Egypt's army can't see the Israelites crossing over. Now, keep in mind, this Red Sea has to part a good mile or two wide in order for 2 million people to walk through in this length of time. This isn't a little path through a little marsh or even through a sea. Now, once Israel is crossed over, the pillar is removed, and the Egyptians see what's happening, and they make a run through that dry seabed after them. Verse 24 tells us here, "The Lord threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them.'" Oh, but it was too late to flee. The waters, we're told, return, completely destroying the Egyptian army. My friend, this is a terrifying picture of the coming judgment of God against all who reject him and all who one day stand before him. Now, let me point out some practical truths for us today in this wisdom journey. First, difficulties are designed by God to develop trust. Verse 31 here says, "Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord." You know, so often today we hear, hey, if you're following God, you're going to be happy, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be healthy, everything is going to work out. It's smooth sailing. Well, isn't it interesting here that God leads the Israelites out of Egypt and right into the face of difficulty? He walks the Israelites into a dead end. Why? Well, as one of my seminary professors used to say, it's because God doesn't just want to deliver us. He wants to develop us. We want to be happy. God wants us to be holy. There's happiness in Jesus Christ. Don't misunderstand me. But God has designed some predicaments along the way to deepen your faith in his power. And sometimes it takes a Red Sea to do that. Secondly, those who are willing to trust God have a greater appreciation for his deliverance. The problem is we rarely give God the chance, don't we? We've got plan A, we've got plan B, we got plan C, and maybe when all those plans fail, we say, "Oh, okay, Lord, what's your plan?" Sometimes God waits for us to run out of options until he becomes our only option. And we wait and trust in him. Here's another. Third, when God's power is revealed, our response ought to be praise. You know, the Israelites here on the other side of the Red Sea are ready to sing. Listen to these first two verses here in chapter 15. "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Wow, what a song. You know, when you're boxed in and there seems to be no way out, what are you thinking? Is God here? Is God aware? Is God powerful enough? Oh, and then when he pulls you through and you're on the other side, well, it's time to sing. "This is my God. He is able, and I will praise him." Well, there's another stanza starting here in verse 11 that reads, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you've redeemed." You know, when we see God move, when we allow him the opportunity to work, and he does, our response should be praise to him. Maybe today you're facing some great challenge, some difficult decision, some painful experience. I want you to remember that this God of Israel is your God too, through faith in Christ. If you belong to him, if you know his Son as your Savior, you can wait You can watch, you can pray for his answer, his deliverance, his development of you, and you can wait for his plan for you in the days ahead, because it will eventually arrive. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
When life feels impossible, God is both present and powerful. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson from this wisdom journey is called On the Banks of the Deep Red Sea. The Wisdom Journey is produced by Wisdom International. We'd love to hear from you. We'd be especially interested in learning how God is using the teaching of His Word to equip or build you up in the faith. You can write to us at Wisdom International, P.O. Box 37297, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27627. Let me give you that one more time in case you're trying to write it down. Our mailing address is Wisdom International, P.O. Box 37297, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27627. Our email address, if you'd like to send Stephen a note, is info@wisdomonline.org. That's info@wisdomonline.org. You can also call us. The phone number here in our Cary, North Carolina office is 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. I hope we hear from you. And when you call, ask how you can get a few sample issues of Stephen's monthly magazine. We call it Heart to Heart. Each month, Stephen writes articles that will help you apply God's Word to your life. There's also a daily devotional guide that you can follow to stay rooted and grounded in God's Word every day. Heart to Heart is not available by subscription. It's a gift that we send to our wisdom partners, but it's also a gift that we'd like to send to you. We'd like to send you the next three issues so that you can see it for yourself. So ask about that when you call us today. One last time, the number is 866-48-BIBLE, and I hope we hear from you today. Join us back here next time to continue traveling along the wisdom journey.